Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the show. I'm your host, Endgamer, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Yo Blazer.
Always a pleasure.
And we've got a wonderful show for you tonight. Last week, as you will recall, we hit on all the big point matches from the bracket. This year we're going to touch on those round 1 and round 2 matches that could decide it if it comes down to just a few points for your bracket. And who better to talk about that than a true board legend, one of the B8 greats, X the...
What's up, kids?
No theme music, but...
I could sing if you want. Hey, nothing you can say.
That
nothing
damn viper.
Gonna change what you've done to me.
The rest of the show is as strong as that intro. We are going to be set. All right, so basically what we're going to do is we got the board odds up. Charmander's been running, always does a great job with that, so kudos to him. And so we're going to tell you the matches that Board 8 is picking incorrectly in these first two rounds. But before we do that, the match that's getting all kinds of debate still over this entire week, that Super Mario Sunshine versus the Halos 4-pack. And we talked about this a lot last week, but we just want to get a fresh opinion. Extra, what are you thinking for that whole crazy 4-pack?
If you pick Halo and you're right, you've got to deal with the fact, I mean, sure, you got 3 points and, you know, it's all well and good, but you picked Halo on GameFAQs, and then if you get it wrong, you are going to feel like such a fool, and everybody's going to be in, you know, everybody that picks Sunshine is going to be over there high-fiving and laughing with each other and saying, ha ha, look at Halo, choked again, what were you thinking? And basically you're going to feel like the guys that picked Master Chief against Ryu Hayabusa last year, myself included, and the same people that picked Chief against Sub-Zero a few years ago. So I can't justify picking against Sunshine here.
So are you going with one of those in-between ideas where it can beat Halo 3, but then it probably loses to Halo 1 in that day match?
I'm picking it to beat both of them. And like Sunshine could lose. I can't see it happening. I just, it's got to win. It for all that is holy on this site, Halo choking again, and like Mario defeating both Halo games, both of the biggest Halo games back to back, is just, it has to happen. Like, it's got to happen.
Basically keeps the laws of physics intact.
Pretty much.
One of the places this really got debated this week was in a topic Leon made, asking for people's opinions of Sunshine, because he thought, you know, everyone hated it, everyone agreed it was the worst Mario, and on Board 8 it was getting actually a pretty favorable reaction, much more so than he thought, and I think he's going to be surprised by the reaction it gets site-wide as well. I'm going to go on record here, as I've been thinking about it for a while. Sunshine is going to beat Halo in that night match. You heard it here first, or maybe you heard it here 100th. But but still, I think Halo 1 in a day match is trouble, but I really like, against Sunshine, the most anti-voted of all the Halos. In a night match, Sunshine getting off to a good start, might be able to rally with a morning vote, and yeah, I still like it there. And now let's hit on those other 1 and 2 point matches. Starting out with Extra, what is the number one match you wanted to hit on that Board 8 is screwing up right now and you're going to set them straight?
If you smell, No Mercy is not losing to Fire Emblem Path of Radiance. Ike be damned. There is no way a game with The Rock on the cover is going to get beat by a relatively, I don't know about obscure being the right word, but it's like, Ulti called it on the board. He was like, SRPGs are a very niche, like, fan base, and Fire Emblem is niche among SRPGs. So, like, I don't know. Like, I think this, when we got No Mercy in, and God bless Dr. Football for using his guru pick for one of the most deserving games ever. When it got in, I, like, with all the nominations, I was like, okay, it's, I'll be just happy to get it in. When I saw that it had a match it could legitimately win, I was like, so happy. Like, I don't want to say I did a dance around my computer room, but it was close. It was damn close. And when that match is taking place, and like, if it's close and No Mercy starts making a push, I can't think of much more fun things than to just be on the board shouting the Rock quotes in bold lettering and like, and breaking the walls down and glass shattering and it's time to play the game. And like, it's going to be one of the most fun days on the board for any No Mercy or wrestling fan.
Yo, you were a big wrestling fan during that era. Do you agree with Exla? Can it pull off this win?
Well, first of all, I got to say that spirited as hell analysis right there. I've got Fire Emblem right now. I think I might go ahead and just change. I think I might change my pick right now. It certainly, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, is a winnable match for No Mercy. Just because, like Exla said, it's got The Rock on the cover. You know, there are two weak games. I don't think No Mercy's strong at all. I think there are so many N64 games that were just stronger multiplayer games, but it was a good game. It was pretty popular back then. And one thing that might sway me and should definitely be on people's minds if they're thinking about this match is that a lot of the voters here watch or have watched pro wrestling. It's not like it's just 10%. No, it is a legit, a legit voting block of the GameFAQs population have watched pro wrestling. And if they've watched pro wrestling, you know they watched it when The Rock and Stone Cold and Jericho and Triple H were the biggest guys. And so I think it might almost be like a little bit of the Mario Sunshine Halo 3 thing, especially for somebody like me, because I don't care much about Fire Emblem. It's not the genre for me. I still think it's probably the slight favorite to win. But if I back No Mercy and No Mercy's competitive, then for that 12 hours, I'm going to remember Jericho's debut. And I'm going to remember, The Rock calling everybody a Rudy Poo candy ass. And I'm going to remember Sable shaking her ass every week. Oh, so gorgeous. So beautiful. So it's just it's a 1-point pick. I don't know who, what they got in the next round. Either one of them is dead, no matter what it is. But, that one could be one of those really, really fun 1-picks that even if you lose, it was worth it just to cheer on, the wrestling game as a wrestling fan. But
yeah. The next round, the winner gets fed to Pokemon Platinum, so.
Yeah, so no shot in the next round against Pokemon. But as just a 1-point match, I think if you're a wrestling fan, you could pick it just via the fanboy factor, but you can also rationalize it. Because, Fire Emblem is not popular at all. So even if No Mercy is not popular, it could still win. It's got The Rock on the cover. It could get the apathetic vote for sure. So, yeah, I think I might go ahead and switch that if you smell what the Arab is cooking.
As of right now, it's 63% of Board 8 is siding with Fire Emblem. After those very spirited pep talks, I still have to pick Fire Emblem. Sorry.
Ooh.
Okay.
Somebody's going to be catching a people's elbow on the day of that match.
Right in the solar plexus.
Moving on. Yo, what is your number one match you wanted to hit on that Board 8 is screwing up? You're going to set them straight.
Let's see. One match that has really surprised me just by looking at these. I expected it to be more competitive is Mega Man 9 versus Demon's Souls. I have Demon's Souls in my bracket. I actually expected it to be the favorite, but Mega Man 9 is a 17-7 favorite right now, and it is very hard for me to to rationalize why it's such a big favorite. Of course, I understand that it's because of the Mega Man 9 name, but I don't buy that as being a big enough reason for it to be that big of a favorite and to be like that much of a shoo-in to win the match. I think Demon's Souls is, the favorite in my opinion.
Exla, you had a pretty strong opinion on that one as well, didn't you?
I don't know. It's just like Kamikaze Potato has been the one that I've seen arguing the most for Demon's Souls, and I'm almost convinced that he's just doing this to get people to pick the wrong game and then laugh at them for having picked Mega Man 9. I just cannot see how Demon's Souls wins this. I have picked one of the newer games in the contest to go pretty far, and we'll get on that later. But new games tend to not do very well on this site, it seems like. And, I can't recall a new character, and I'm far stronger when it comes to predicting the character battle than when it comes to games doing that well. Like, Nathan Drake went out as a 2-seed, and got beat by the boss, and Uncharted is far more popular than Demon's Souls here, am I right? I'm pretty sure I'm right on that.
Yes, definitely.
But, and so, I can't see Demon's Souls being worth much of anything here, and I think it's gonna be, it might be close, it'd be like 55-45, but I don't see it winning, or having any chance of winning.
I cannot see Demon's Souls winning this match. The rationale behind it that KP and others are bringing up is, you know, it was well regarded, and it doesn't matter that it didn't sell well. People recognize it and it had a good word of mouth and all that, and they'll vote for it. But it's not like Mega Man 9 had bad word of mouth.
Mega Man 9 was awesome.
First of all, it was a really good game. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And it sold, you know, well for a DLC, and it's got the Mega Man name, and I just think it has a lot of things going in its favor. This is a night match, and Mega Man always gets out to a good start in those. I just think it pulls ahead and doesn't dominate or anything, but I think it wins this one convincingly. Yo, have we convinced you?
No, not quite. Let me give you guys my logic behind this. I think a lot of people, you know, looked at this match and probably picked Mega Man 9 very quickly, and one of the reasons for that was because they remembered the Mega Man versus Mario Kart series match, the one that doomed my original user account. It's sitting there buried and has been for the last 4 years, but it's okay. I've upgraded. I'm happy. You know, I've just got to remind everybody that games are a lot different than series, and even though Mega Man the series took advantage of that kind of respect factor and dominated Mario Kart, let me remind you that Super Mario Kart would beat any Mega Man game. That's like not even close. I think it proved it in the last game contest. Those Mega Man individual games were very disappointing. And, you know, just one Mario Kart game probably was the strongest one, but still, it was, you know, it was right up there with Super Metroid and would have flattened any Mega Man game. So I think the voters themselves, you know, as much as we kind of like to make fun of them at times, they're not stupid, and they're going to realize that this Mega Man game, Mega Man 9, doesn't represent the whole series, and it's not this nostalgic, you know, NES Mega Man game from 1989. It's a game from 2008 or 2009 or whenever it came out. It's a very recent game, and it's a game that most of them have not played, and it's going to be this game that I don't think is going to represent the entirety of Mega Man to most people versus this other game that, let's get on, you know, let's be serious, most of the site still hasn't played. I think this is going to be a very, very unpopular match with horrendous votals, but they're going to know that Demon's Souls was this very well-regarded game and that, you know, it actually won some Game of the Year awards. So they're going to, it's going to be like the Mega Man name versus the acclaim of Demon's Souls. And I think Demon's Souls will edge that one out.
You're giving the voters so much more credit than I ever will. I mean, I see them the way they vote for Link, and I'm not even going to say almost. They do it mindlessly, and I give them no credit, none.
I don't think you can ever equate, you know, Link fanboyism with somebody being mindless. I think if anything, it's the other way around.
Touche, touche.
Fair enough.
He's just so, I mean, a hookshot? Bombs? He's got fairies and bottles. Oh man, just you know what? Let's scrap this and make a character battle right now. I feel like voting for Link.
Man, you know, one of the most disappointing things was that, like, if Sephiroth had to lose to Solid Snake, I would have been so much happier if Snake had just gone on and then beaten Link too, because that would have screwed everybody. But no, that won't happen.
He was close. He was pretty close to Cloud. But even if he would have gotten through Cloud and been, like, roided beyond belief for the finals, Link would have still, like, 60-40'd him.
Yeah, he would have.
Happened. It would have been great. And I would have posted, like, Link videos with emotional Mariah Carey music on the board. It would have been fantastic. Just a delight.
You people. This is why we can't have nice things on GameFAQs, yo. Because of you.
I have nice things every year.
Anyway, you and Mume and Swift. I have to listen to Mume post his stupid cheery emoticons whenever Link's winning a match that makes me sick, which is pretty much every Link match over the past 4 years or so.
All right, X, though, what else do you have for us? A big mistake that Board 8 is making in the early going here.
This one's not a huge mistake, but I could see it going awry, and that's Pokemon Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald versus Grand Theft Auto 4. I went back and forth on this. KP is actually his topic is actually the one that swayed me on it, and I can't remember the numbers because I'm not that great with numbers. But Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald's doubling Grand Theft Auto right now on the odds project, and among Pokemon fans, and I'm not including this because I actually really like Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald, but I am very rare case because most of the Pokemon fan base views this as the black sheep. Like, you know, there's the warm nostalgia. Everybody loves Red, Blue, Yellow. Gold, Silver, Crystal, people recognize as the technical superior and love it. And, like, with Platinum, everybody's like, oh, hey, the series came back and is awesome. But there's this gap between 2 and 4 where people were just like, ugh. They hated the water. They thought all the Pokemon were terrible. There's Feebas, and it's just like they don't like it. And I can see them. I can see the voters be like forgetting about it. And Grand Theft Auto actually did a lot better than I would have thought in the last contest. So I don't see any reason why to think that it doesn't have a chance.
Yo, do you agree, or are you going with the safe pick of Pokemon in a day match there?
Is this the one with Zigzagoon?
Yes.
Oh, then it's going to win, no problem. Yeah, there you go.
Really?
No, it's funny, because as soon as you and I think Ermine started arguing about Zigzagoon, like, I had no idea what it was, but Zigzagoon became one of the most used words in my vocabulary. Like, I call my little cousin Zigzagoon now. I just thought it was so hilarious.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't know, Zigzagoon. It was just, it really made my day. But,
what the hell is wrong with you? God, I hate Ermine. I'm so, you know, I felt bad for interrupting him on serious business, but right now, I'm so glad that I did it. I'm so glad that I kicked him off the show. Ugh.
Maybe I should research what a Zigzagoon is. I didn't know
it sucks, and it's worse than Garchomp, believe you me.
Garchomp sounds pretty cool. All right, whatever, anyway. Yeah, I'm going to stick with Pokemon here because, you know, I think the board knows that I'm probably the guy who wants to pick Pokemon to lose. You know, maybe if it was up against something that I thought could get it a bit more of a rally, something that was a bit more liked by the fan base or by the voters, I might take it. But, you know, I really don't want to get burned by Pokemon again. And Grand Theft Auto doesn't strike, like, if Pokemon is the black sheep of its series, then Grand Theft Auto 4, I don't know if it's the black sheep, but it's certainly not as popular now as GTA was a few years ago. I think a lot of people played it, and it was so hyped with the $1 million budget and the $100 million budget and the millions of dollars in marketing and all the pre-orders. A lot of people just thought it was disappointing, and I actually played it for a couple of hours too, and I thought, you know, that's it. So I wasn't too happy with it. I don't see any Pokemon game losing, even the one with Zigzagoon. So yeah, day match Pokemon against GTA. Hard for me to rationalize not taking Pokemon, you know, based on anything other than pure pokey hatred, but I'm not gonna let that burn me again. Hell no. So Pokemon for me.
Yeah, I definitely have taken GTA a couple years ago, but just the way these two series are trending, Pokemon's been just up and up and up, and I really would like to pick against GTA as much as possible in this contest, and it's kind of weird with the way the bracket worked out. I'm not going to be able to do that because it's facing some pretty terrible games, but in this case I do got to side with Board 8. I am sticking with Pokemon here. And just because, as Yo touched on, I think if any GTA is going to get anti-voted, and if there's any GTA that doesn't work well in a game of the decade kind of setting, it would be 4. I could see that helping something like 3, you know, that was really innovative and got people into the series, but 4 seemed to kick a lot of people out of the series. And in a night match, I think I might have to do it, but no, gotta stick with Pokemon in a day match there. All right, Yo, any other good advice for our bracket makers?
Let's see. My next pick is one that really confuses me. It's not that I feel very strongly about it one way or the other, but it's Warcraft 3 versus Morrowind. And looking at the BOP there, it seems that Warcraft 3 is a pretty big favorite when I thought Morrowind would actually be the favorite. I've got it in my bracket. I know absolutely nothing about these two games, but I thought it would at least be a toss-up. And, you know, I don't think we've ever seen Warcraft 3 in a match. And Morrowind actually did pretty, you know, not terribly, let's say, not terribly in the last contest. And I thought that would be enough, just that alone, to give it a slight edge or at least make it a toss-up. So I'm a bit confused with why the board is trending the way they are for that one. So maybe if you guys would like to shine a bit of light on that match for me.
You know, these are two games that I don't have a lot of familiarity with. But I'm thinking, isn't Warcraft 3 the game that inspired Defense of the Ancients, DOTA, yes, that a lot of people play? And if that's the case, I don't know, I can see it being... I have it in my bracket just because I didn't think Morrowind was worth anything, but I'm looking at this match where it was in the same match with Final Fantasy X and Metal Gear Solid 2, and it actually didn't get completely obliterated. So I'm actually considering changing that right now. And then thinking about my Oblivion, how far I have Oblivion getting, just based on that, I'm going to have to really reconsider that. But yeah,
I... I think a lot of people might be taking Warcraft, again, looking back at the series contest, because it did beat GTA, and a lot of people, including myself, thought GTA was going to be just a monster, and then it lost to Warcraft, which then went on to get killed by Mario. I'm looking at that same series contest, and Elder Scrolls was not that weak of an entry, you know? And Oblivion is a really strong game, you know, relative to, like, other Western RPGs of the time, or other games of the time, anyway. And Morrowind did not get killed in its match, so I just thought it would at least be like a toss-up. Because if people think, okay, you know, Warcraft has WoW, and it's not terrible, but Elder Scrolls has Oblivion, and it's never proved to be terrible either.
Yeah, Blizzard games are always best at night. This one's going to be a day match. We know day matches are favorable to Xbox titles, and so I like Morrowind's advantage there. As Exla mentioned, it did pretty decently in the last games contest, despite getting a terrible draw. I think Final Fantasy X, if you're a Morrowind, that's definitely one of the games you do not want to see in your four-pack. And it still held up decently. And Elder Scrolls has been good in recent years. To me, this one is a coin flip. If it were WoW in this position instead, I'd take Morrowind easily. Warcraft 3 shouldn't get anti-voted like that. But I'm still actually siding probably a little bit toward Morrowind right now. Definitely, it should be much closer in the BOP. So we'll see if that trends in the other direction now.
So you'd think that Warcraft 3 might do better than WoW in this contest?
Yes, definitely.
Really? Because, I mean, WoW, at least it beat a Halo game last time around. So, I mean, if you had Halo 2 in here against Morrowind, I don't know if I'd pick Morrowind. I'd probably go with Halo.
Really?
The trouble is WoW is always going to be so much better in a four-way setting.
Right, yeah.
It's got its hardcore fan base. It's never going to go back on it. And in anything debatable, it's got, you know, legions of fans to rely on to rally for a win or to gain some extra percentage. In a 1v1 setting, I think WoW is going to get really shown up. I think it's in for some bad showings this year, even if it is able to win matches.
That's actually my third match that I was going to
say. Great transition. Let's do it.
Yeah. How on earth is WoW doubling Paper Mario in a day match? Like you said, I think it's just going to get exposed. Like, I actually heard, like, Albion Hero. Now, I don't want to make it a habit of quoting Albion Hero. Albion Hero is picking Animal Crossing to defeat it. And he's pretty much the biggest World of Warcraft fan on the board, I think. So I can't. Like, it's going to get embarrassed by Paper Mario, which, and, you know, I just looked, and Paper Mario did abysmally in the last contest, at least by my count, like, that match that it was in, and the way that it performed, like, being embarrassed. But, I mean, even though it was in there with Prime, both of those games losing was just, like, shocking bad to me. Like, I still, like you said, 1v1s, like, WoW is going to run into some trouble because it's not going to be, like, it's got its set fan base that's going to vote for it, and then everybody else that doesn't like it has such a negative viewpoint. And, like, KP has it 60-40-ing Paper Mario, I'm pretty sure, which is, that would just knock me out of my chair.
That's not going to happen in a day match, nope.
There are very few games that WoW could possibly get into the 60s on, in my opinion. I think it's going to be hated on to the extent that it can win some matches, but they're going to be squeakers. And this was actually my number one mistake that Board 8 has made. I totally agree with Exa here. Making WoW such a favorite is pretty crazy. I think you don't want to bet against, you know, an older RPG that a lot of people love, and especially a Nintendo RPG. And again, kind of like the Tales of game, here's an RPG on a system that didn't have a lot of them, so it got a lot of playtime. A lot of people really got into it, and I just think this Paper Mario and 2 are going to be a lot stronger than others are giving them credit for.
I think Paper Mario was SFF'd, you know, by Prime last time, and it probably might have been hurt a little bit by having Kingdom Hearts there, another like RPG that you know appeals to the kiddies.
I agree.
So yeah, that might have hurt it a little bit too. I think it would have done better in a one-on-one match. WoW, I think, obviously will do worse in a one-on-one match. And the day vote, I think that goes in Paper Mario's favor. And there's just something about the overall kind of makeup of the GameFAQs voters where I think every year for the past 2 or 3 years, we've always been telling ourselves, like, okay, this is the year where Western games are going to get big, and this is the year where Nintendo's going to flop. And every Game of the Year voting reflects that. Western games are getting huge now. The Wii is practically invisible. It gets, like, zero votes. I think, you know, G-Mud and Shine vote for it in the user of the or console of the year stuff, and that's what it make, you know, that's what it ends up with. It has to make do with that. But then the contest roll around and Nintendo kicks ass, especially if it's a one-on-one format. Just Nintendo rules this thing. It rules this site. And there's just something very kind of worrying about me picking a Western game over something named Mario on GameFAQs. Especially, it might not be the biggest Mario thing, it might be a smaller Mario thing, but it's not hated. And
still, it's actually really well received. A really well received game.
Yeah, everybody who's played it, from what I've heard, they like it. And it's still got Mario in his name, and it's going to have that awesome Mario sprite on the front page versus, you know, Thrall or whatever Warcraft has. And that is just going to appeal to the GameFAQs voters so much more than, you know, the Warcraft picture or the Warcraft name. Just this awesome Mario picture up there, the fact that this is a Mario RPG. Like, we saw what happened the last time. You know, Mario had Warcraft in a match. Like, it was obviously different, but it was really, really, really ugly. And all the rallying in the world wasn't going to do anything in that match.
Yeah, I didn't want to misquote KP there. And he does actually have WoW winning 60-40 on that, so.
Ridiculous. The one thing I'll give WoW that has in its favor is, if you're talking most influential game of the past decade, mm-hmm. I mean, I think you could make a real case for it there. But are voters going to think to that level?
See, I don't think. That's one thing that people keep saying. Like, they keep saying, well, this game fits the game of the decade mantra. And I'm like, I can't give the GameFAQs voter base that much credit and think that they'll vote on that deep of a level. They're just going to see this name that they like versus this game that they don't like, and bam, that's their vote.
I could see Game of the Decade coming into play, like, toward the final rounds. Like, if we could have had something like maybe Pokemon beats Majora, gets up there against Resident Evil 4, you know, Final Four match, and people are like, you know, which is really the game of the decade? Which should be in the final? I could see it coming into play pretty seriously then, but I think these opening rounds, it's just going to be, you know, Mario, there he is with his sprite looking cool against, like I said, Thrall or whoever, and I think they're just going to go to Mario in that situation.
Yet another reason why Demon's Souls doesn't stand a chance.
There you go.
Demon's Souls is different somehow.
Yeah, it's even less recognizable than Thrall.
Maybe I got to go back and rethink some of this crap.
All right, Yoda, you have one more good piece of advice for the bracket makers.
Let's see. My final match, it's not that I even disagree with this one, because I've got the same pick that Board 8 is heavily favoring right now, but I'm surprised that it's this heavily favored, and that is Golden Sun versus Ratchet and Clank. And if you look at the BOP right now, Golden Sun's up, I think, 21-3, so it's nearly 100%. Nearly every Board 8er who submitted a bracket right now has Golden Sun. I don't think it should be that big of a favorite for two main reasons. One is that Ratchet looked much, much better last contest. You know, I think people are finally starting to warm up to the fact that this is a big series now. It's almost a decade old. It was kind of one of the bigger series on the PS2. Nobody dislikes it, and it's become, you know, like almost a classic series, because it's just been so prevalent in the last decade. And the fact that this is a console game versus a handheld game that's not named Zelda or Pokemon. So I think it's got that in its favor. And I think it would actually be a legitimate upset pick. You know, I'm still going to stick with Golden Sun. I think it'll win it, but I don't see, like, I don't think it should be this big of a favorite. I thought it'd be closer.
I think I would be really happy if Ratchet and Clank won, because it would just be fun seeing how happy Leonhart would be, because he's a big Ratchet and Clank fan, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, Golden Sun's going to win pretty easily. I agree with the board on this. I don't see it. Just it doesn't have enough. I don't know what the right word is. Like, there's no nostalgia for Ratchet and Clank, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and I think it's kind of tough to create nostalgia for a series like that. Whereas anybody that's played Golden Sun's gonna you know, like Swift is a huge Golden Sun fan, and he is always bugging me to play it. Because, and there's, like, he loves the music so much, and you're going to get that with RPGs. So, yeah, the board's right on this one.
All yeah. right, shot down.
Sorry.
Hey, you Demons, guys no sold.
You guys shot me down on Grand Theft Auto 4, so.
Mm-hmm. I just think that it might be a decent upset pick that actually, you know, has a plausible shot of coming through. I'm not going to go with it, but everybody's acting like it's an open shut case, almost on the level of like one of the one seeds, you know, and I just don't think it should be that big of a favorite.
Yeah, Ratchet did look decent last year, but Isaac also did look pretty good in a 1v1 setting. So I think they're close to comparable there, and then when you tack on, you know, Ratchet is obviously a much bigger flagship for his series than Isaac. I think he got a favor Golden Sun. Let's stay on the same subject because Golden Sun actually has something pretty interesting going on in the second round. If it does advance, it's going to be facing GTA San Andreas. It's going to be a day match, and here's some hot info for you. The new Golden Sun game for the DS comes out on the very day of this match. In a day match, Shards of Charizard here. Shades of Charizard, that is.
Shards of Charizard.
Yeah, we could see some crazy overperformance here. Now that you've heard that, Yo, are you maybe giving Golden Sun a chance at a big-time upset?
Against San Andreas?
Yep.
No, I don't think it matters for Golden Sun. It's one thing when a Pokemon game, a heavily anticipated Pokemon game, comes out on match day and you've got Charizard there and everybody's so pumped up. It's another thing entirely when it's Golden Sun. You know, I think GTA, it lost to Tales of Symphonia, you know, last year. But God of War was in that match. And I think, honestly, if you have a one-on-one match, Tales of Symphonia versus San Andreas, I think San Andreas could win that. And I don't think Golden Sun would come anywhere near the RPG on the GameCube. Like, Tales of Symphonia was, you know, GameCube didn't have any Final Fantasies or any of that stuff. So Tales of Symphonia was, like, the Japanese RPG on that system. And I don't think any handheld, you know, RPG is going to come close. So I don't think it's going to matter. Not when you're up against the PS2 Grand Theft Auto game that sold, like, 17 million copies. I actually think those GTA games, like GTA 3 and San Andreas, are going to redeem themselves a little bit. And I can't see one of them losing to, like, a handheld game like Golden Sun, on launch day or not.
Now, here's the one thing that I would kind of disagree with is last year we had an E3 poll that said, which E3 announced game are you excited for? Golden Sun got 16% of the vote in that poll, defeating Metroid Other M, Galaxy 2, Metal Gear Solid Rising, and only 3% less than Final Fantasy 14. Clearly, this is a series with a fan base. You know, it's hard to tell in such a multi-way poll. You know, 20% of the site obviously loves it, but I've got to give it a fighting chance here. I can't actually pull the trigger on the upset, but I think it's worth considering.
Well, guess what, guys? I already picked Golden Sun for this match prior to hearing any of that sweet information. Now, call that me being completely naive or whatever, but now that you gave me all that information, which, way to go, NG, you're on deck with some great stuff there. Hell yeah, man, what a solid upset pick. And I still have a sour taste in my mouth from Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. If you can remember, I think, Yo, you and I were the ones talking on AIM the day that, I think it was the second day of the contest in, like,
five long years ago.
Where that fucking main character of San Andreas lost on the second day of the contest and wrecked my perfect bracket by getting dumped by
perfect bracket.
So my perfect bracket got ruined on the second day because San Andreas main character came out and laid an egg. So all that considered, I have no problem taking Golden Sun to win this match, and I will feel completely right if, like, you know, it'll be one of those really feel good picks
you know,
if
what
it does come through.
You made a fantastic point there, a point that I have overlooked for the past week, and that is that GTA San Andreas is going to have black people on the front page of GameFAQs.
Whoa!
And Golden Sun has some of the whitest MFers I have ever seen in any game ever. Like, look at Isaac. I'm sorry, I know both of you guys are of the Caucasian ethnicity, but just look at Isaac and then look at CJ and look at what Ness did, and now, like, put them together in a match. You know which way this side is treading. I'm sorry, SB Allen. I completely forgot that San Andreas was the black GTA.
See?
Yeah, I completely forgot. I know how this site trends. And yeah, let me tell you something, guys. Just to go off topic a little bit, a little social commentary here. I just spent the last weekend in Vegas on some job interviews, and I actually went out to my van, putting stuff in, taking stuff out, and there were some people there having a little party outside, and guess what? They were of the black people. And guess what? They were very nice. They shook my hand. They offered me a beer. They told me if they were being too loud, they could turn the music down. So enough with the crap. No more fear. No more hate. We elected a black president, so let's all vote for GTA and enough of this crap. But now that I remember it has black people, it's probably going to lose, so I should go back and change to Golden Sun right now. Goddamn you guys.
Yo Blazer's president is black. His Lambo's blue. Oh, man. But yeah, that's I initially had picked Dead Space to beat San Andreas because Dead Space is one of my favorite games ever, and it's definitely one of the best games that I've played over the past few years. I'm so excited for Dead Space 2 to come out, but
spoilers, the black guy dies. Oh, sorry guys.
Exactly. It's not just on GameFAQs, it's in the deepest reaches of space on the USG Ishimura too.
Oh man. Yeah, and it's got a Weeboo ship name too. White hero on the Weeboo ship and the black guy dies. Oh man.
And it's not just dying too.
Going down.
spoilers. Like, he doesn't just die. He gets like completely mauled by this monster. He gets his brains bashed into. It's
It's
exactly what's gonna happen to San Andreas when it steps to Golden Sun on release date for the new Golden Sun game. We saw what happened with Charizard. It's going to be a much lower profile example of what happened with Charizard last year.
At this point, if GTA wins, I would consider it a milestone of acceptance and progressivism.
Again, giving those voters so much credit, yo.
Yes, we can.
So we're talking about a black rapper going against a white Japanese RPG character holding a sword with spiked hair. And yeah, if you're of the opinion that GameFAQs voters just see that match pick and decide in 1 second which way to go, could be trouble. I definitely think it's worth considering. Like I said, maybe I'll change my mind and actually go with it.
Oh, come on,
you're from Wisconsin, of course you will.
pull the trigger on that one, NG. You've got to.
I'll get back to the listeners next week to see if I did.
I think, in all seriousness, that whole, 15-minute ridiculous conversation illustrates just how many really, really hard matches there are in this bracket, because there are so many you could rationalize one way or the other.
Well, that one's one of the few you can rationalize because of racism, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, there are just so many that are completely open-ended, basically.
For sure. This bracket has got me tearing my hair out. I will say that is one match that I'm probably going to be banking my battle.
Oh, you'd better.
I'm going to be banking my battle points on that one.
All right, let's move on to another of Exla's very favorite games of all time, Final Fantasy VII.
Woo!
Unfortunately, it has a Crisis Core in front of the FF7.
Won't matter.
Going up against a kind of disliked Final Fantasy in 12, is that ripe for an upset, would you say, X, though?
Oh, hell yeah. Zach Unfair on the cover of the game. He is, isn't he? I don't know. I haven't played Crisis Core, but yeah, I gotta... Final Fantasy 12 is, barring the MMORPGs, the most forgettable, and maybe 10-2, it is the most forgettable Final Fantasy game out of the entire bunch. It has don't forget about or don't listen to Andor's lies meme, but it's one of the most unremarkable FF titles of all time, versus the, and this pains me to say it, second biggest game on this website in the title of it. Final Fantasy VII has proved last contest with how well, I mean, despite Sephiroth losing, like, Aeris or Tifa came out and just godsmacked Gordon. Like, that wasn't fair. Sephiroth had all the recipes of getting upset by missing No, and he came out and he shut the shit down on those clowns. And,
still impressed by that.
Yeah, I mean, I was heavily, heavily dreading the upset there. I mean, I know
when you finally pulled it through, though, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, I believe I was up all night screaming One Winged Angel. And yeah,
I remember you were pretty pissed because there was a 10 or 15 minute period where it looked like missing No might do it.
Yeah.
I think you were mulling, and I was a bit like, it's happening. It happens again.
Yeah, I was. I think there was a point where I just wanted nothing more to do with the voters on this site, and it returned to that when he faced Snake. But it's just like FF7 continues to do well, and Sid did really well against Mega Man, too, all things considered. But yeah, Crisis Core is going to win this match, and I'm very close to taking it over Portal in the next round, too.
I know that I played Final Fantasy XII for about 30 minutes in late 07, and then I turned it off and said, okay, let me go back to Mario Galaxy. You know, I loved Final Fantasy X. I loved Final Fantasy VII. You know, there was just nothing about that game at the very beginning that appealed to me, and I've never played Crisis Core either, but it's got such an awesome soundtrack, and Zack Fair is the freaking man. Zack Fair is the man. There is not a person on this website that doesn't love Zack Fair. Like, when I was playing Final Fantasy VII, of course, I went into it blind. I didn't really know anything outside the big spoiler. And then everybody said, when I was nearing the end of the game, go back to the mansion. There's a cutscene. You know? There's a cool cutscene. And I went back, and I saw that cool cutscene, and I was like, holy crap, Zack Fair is the freaking man. and he's going to be there on the front page, looking all badass after he cut up Yona, who's no slouch herself in the last contest, and he's going to have the Final Fantasy VII name there, and I'm going to be voting for it all proudly and feeling all badass and, like, clutching my tinfoil Buster Sword, you know? And I'm going to have one of the Crisis Core soundtracks blasting on YouTube, and it's going to feel great. Am I going to take the upset? No. Do I wish I had the balls? Do I wish I had the balls to do it? Hell yeah, I do. Because
you are such a girl.
Because that would be one of the funnest upsets in the bracket. And you know what? I think it's a doable upset, and it's not that big of an upset because I think Portal's probably the favorite against either of these two in the next round. Like, I would say, even though it's close, I would say put money on Portal to win, to be either of them. So for me, it's more or less kind of a one-point match. And, you know, I could see somebody with a one-point match saying, all right, let me just back Zack Fair because the price of freedom is sometimes that high.
All right. You two are crazy FF12 easily. Moving on.
What?
That was moving 10 minutes on. Wasted. That whole 10 minutes is going to get chopped out.
And you will freaking hear from me when Crisis Core is winning by, like, not even, like, close. Like, that match isn't going to be close. PSP exclusive, be damned.
Okay. Let's talk about one of Yo's favorite games to balance it back out here. That is Knights of the Old Republic. It's facing what some people think it might be a stiff challenge in Devil May Cry right in the opening round. Yo, do you have complete confidence in your game there?
Complete confidence, absolutely. The adventure, or I'm sorry, the hardcore action games on this site have never really been able to do much. God of War disappointed last year, and I think God of War would be much bigger than Devil May Cry because it's targeted more toward a Western audience and it had much, much bigger sales. And, you know, Dante is like, he's so much greater than the sum of his parts, and the sum of his parts are very, very weak. And last year I was just so thrilled with the performance that Knights of the Old Republic managed, almost beating Halo. Who knows? It might easily beat any Halo in a one-on-one match. I think it's so respected, and it's one of those games that's just aged. Like Final Fantasy X, everybody says that game has aged so well over the decade. I think Knights of the Old Republic is in that category, because everybody who plays it gives it really good word of mouth, and they get somebody else to play it, and then that person loves it. And I really think if that game had been on the PS2, it would be not a contender, but let's say high up there on the mid-card. I think it was kind of cursed by its Xbox exclusiveness in a time where this site really didn't care about the Xbox at all. But just in terms of, you know, the genre, RPG versus pure action, just in terms of the name. It's got Star Wars there. In terms of the respect factor, like, everybody knows this is one of the most critically acclaimed games of the decade. I don't see it having trouble here. No way.
Now, I've got Knights of the Old Republic winning, and but I just want to hit you with a counterpoint here. Darth Revan went out and just got embarrassed in the character battle last year, which kind of makes me shaky on this. And the thing about this is you get this match wrong, you're automatically dropping the next 2 points because whoever wins this is going to handle Fire Emblem next round.
Mm-hmm.
But as, like you said, Dante is much bigger than the sum of all his parts, yeah, and Dante choked last year too, which doesn't, you know, give me any hope for the DMC games, as great as they may be. I haven't played Knights of the Old Republic, and Devil May Cry is one of my favorite games still, but I have no faith in it here, and I think KOTOR takes it pretty easily.
Yeah, Knights was definitely impressive to me last contest. It was put in a match against Halo, and to me that felt like this is the worst possible matchup. I mean, there were two standout titles for the Xbox. And I said, wow, if anything's going to, you know, really leech it down, it would be that. And instead it held up really well. And I agree, I would take it over any Halo in a 1v1 at this point. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it moves on easily through these first two rounds. The World Ends With You is getting another chance to disappoint us this year, matching up against Dead Rising in the first round. This is actually a pretty debated match. Right now about 70% of the board is going with Dead Rising. Extha, have you played them both? What do you think there?
I haven't played Dead Rising, which just kind of shocks me at the moment because I'm such a big zombie fan and, you know, love Resident Evil so much that it feels like I should have played Dead Rising by now. I guess I'll blame it on the fact that I didn't get a 360 until a couple years ago. One thing that I just want to point out that drives me absolutely nuts is why Bacon took the out of The World Ends With You. Like, that's why, like, I can understand shortening titles, but, like, don't, like, wreck the title like that. It's just, I don't know, it's one of those things that eats at me. I've got Dead Rising because this is another case, like, with Civ 4. Dead Rising 2 is coming out, or has come out, actually. Yeah, it's out now, isn't it?
It's out. Yep.
So, like, it's got that in favor for it. World Ends With You. It's a Square game, but, and it's a great game. I think it's probably the better game, even though I haven't played Dead Rising. I can't see it. Like, World Ends With You's battle system is mad fun. It is the first game for the DS that I can say, like, actually made good intuitive use of the touchscreen. And there are probably people that would argue with me on that. But it was so much fun. There's so many different, like, abilities you can do. That it's just a really different, fun game that I hadn't seen before. And I like the characters a lot, and the music's really good, and the setting's good. Just everything's really good about it. I wish I could justify picking it, but not something I can do. Dead Rising just got a sequel, and Frank West is really badass, and I don't know.
He's covered wars, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Laharl and Neku was probably, maybe even more so, like 58, 42, something like that.
One thing I'll say is Brackenmaker shouldn't get too hung up on the names that SB put out there, because he has confirmed that when it comes to the actual match day, we're going to see, for instance, Pokemon Gold Silver. I don't know if Crystal's going to be attached, but
it will have
the whole title.
That's something that's going to benefit Board 8 so much versus the casual bracket makers
absolutely.
When it comes to that game in specific Pokemon, because I guarantee the casuals are going to get eaten alive on the Zelda versus Pokemon match. You know, I can't see a lot of casuals realizing how good Pokemon Gold Silver is going to be, and they're just going to get eaten alive. But yeah, that's good that it's not going to be World Ends With You.
I guarantee you the site-wide number for that Majora Mask is just going to be jaw-dropping. It's going to be a tiny percentage of Pokemon fans, and like 90% of them will be Board 8ers because we had that kind of info going in. Yo, any strong thoughts? Dead Rising in that first match.
No strong thoughts. I think the board is right on with this one. It should be the big favorite. It's the console game. It has a sequel out right now that is not just out right now, but it's actually one of the most popular and most requested games on the site at the moment. World Ends With You, I'm sure it was well received, but as the characters have shown, it's very, very weak. I think Dead Rising is getting bigger now that it has a sequel, now that it has a game, an admittedly awful game on the Wii. You know, it's got some DLC in its favor. Yeah, I think it'll take it, you know, just as X the N, you have pointed out, probably the same percentage that Laharl beat the World Ends With You guy, 56%, 57, something like that.
Okay, going back to one of our favorite matches from all the way back in 2004, Street Fighter. This time, again, toward the start of the contest, this time it's going to be a day match. It's going up against Sonic Adventure 2. This is Street Fighter 4. Right now the board is about 75% leaning toward Sonic. Yo, are they making a mistake as a big SF4 fan yourself?
I am a big SF4 fan, but I also, surprisingly, am a big Sonic Adventure 2 fan. Have a lot of warm feelings. A lot of warm feelings for that game. Follow me, set me free. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 beat Street Fighter 2 very easily 2 times last year. And I know that these two games are probably like the little brothers of those two. But if one Sonic can beat the strongest Street Fighter so easily, I can't justify giving a weaker Street Fighter 4 a good chance against another Sonic game, even if it might be a weaker Sonic game.
Seems kind of like an open and shut case there. Extra, do you agree?
Trust me and we will escape from the city.
I'll make it through. Sorry.
Follow me, set me free. Oh, man. Yeah, a lot of warm memories there with Sonic Adventure 2. For a while, I had Street Fighter 4 winning because I think it was like 2 weeks ago. I got drunk and YoBlazer got me hooked on some of the Street Fighter music, so I was like obsessed with that for a while, and I was like, this is time for redemption for back in 04, baby. And
who
then
you escape from the city when you have indestructible.
And then
I cannot believe you lived out your childhood without hearing Street Fighter music. That just baffles me. I don't know. It's just weird, but
what,
hey,
childhood?
I'm glad you're
What childhood?
Exactly what childhood. I'm glad you're on the good side now, though.
Yeah, for sure. I got to get Street Fighter 4 so you can destroy me at it for a while. But anyways, Sonic Adventure 2 day match where Sonic, you know, does really well and Street Fighter is complete garbage. Isn't it? I mean, Ryu usually sucks during the day, doesn't he? Yeah. He's garbage during the day. This is the last Sonic game that anybody remembers fondly. Like, maybe I'm giving the voters too much credit, maybe they all hate Sonic too much now, but this one is definitely viewed favorably. I remember so many hours spent like raising chows, and like all the music is good, and you have the badass Sonic and Shadow levels, and like it culminates in like literally a race across a space bridge or whatever between the two of them, where they're just using their abilities against one another, and it's just a really fun Sonic game with fun music, and it has the Knuckles Pumpkin Hill music. You know me, the fighting freak Knuckles, and we at Pumpkin Hill. And it's just so much fun stuff to remember it by.
Hell
and,
yeah.
And so yeah, day match. If it were a night match, maybe I'd think about it more, but day match, it's no-brainer. Sonic's gonna win. I actually have Sonic beating Uncharted in the next round, which I might have to revisit, but
whoa.
But yeah, I'm kind of still hung up on Nathan Drake getting beat by the boss, so.
Yeah, I cannot justify a Street Fighter win here. I really wish I could, and before last year I might have gone with it, but that was such a convincing win for Sonic over the strongest Street Fighter that I just can't see any way to reverse that.
And it's not like Street Fighter 4 came back later in the contest and redeemed the series. It's not like it had a great performance against Persona. Woo.
Yeah, how the hell did it do that?
It still shocks me, yeah.
If anything, this one should be more in Sonic's favor, I think.
All right, one last match to hit on, and I think it's being criminally underrated. I mean, I probably won't do the upset myself, but Team Fortress 2 going up against Fable. TF2 is right now an overwhelming favorite, despite looking, in my opinion, pretty terrible last contest, only drawing 12% of the vote. Granted, tough competition, COD4, Pokemon, and Galaxy were in there.
Yeah.
But still, 12% of the vote, and suddenly it's a huge favorite over an RPG that at the time was really hyped. Yo, were people just too disappointed with the original Fable that it's not going to have a chance here?
I think people are very unfamiliar with it. It's never seen a contest match. It's never performed, you know, very noteworthy in any polls, and it's only been in a couple of polls, so we can't really gauge it. And Team Fortress 2, granted, yeah, only 12%, but it was very tough competition. You could say that COD, you know, was leeching it a lot because, you know, those are pretty similar games, multiplayer shooters. But I think in Team Fortress 2's favor, it's got a couple things in its favor. Valve, I think it's fair to say, has grown in the past year or two. Steam has grown in the past year or two. And if you guys remember about a year ago on Halloween, for a couple of days, Valve gave away Team Fortress 2 for about $2. And I think it lit up their servers, and so many people bought the game. I think I bought 6 copies. I might have even bought like a dozen copies for my friends and stuff, and I think I bought some for a couple of Board 8ers. You know, I would very easily believe that it is a stronger game than we saw just a year ago. But at the same time, I agree with you that this match is being a bit underrated. Team Fortress 2 has nearly 100% of the brackets right now, only one Fable backer. And I think you've got to give Fable a shot just because it's an RPG versus an online-only multiplayer game. And just that alone on GameFAQs means that it's not an open-and-shut case. Like, Fable has a shot. Am I going to pull the trigger? No, I'm much more familiar with Team Fortress, but I wouldn't rule it out if Fable won or at least gave it a very close match.
Extra, do you think it might be a decent fight there?
Well, first of all, you're talking to the guy that took heavy over Roxas in the character battle. So
good times.
yeah, for sure. My thing is Fable seems to be remembered as one of the more disappointing games, not just for the Xbox, but overall, like, the hype surrounding that. Like, I remember beforehand there were kids in school telling me that Fable was going to be the Final Fantasy VII of this generation, and I laughed at them, and I still having a hearty chuckle at statements like that. Yeah, Team Fortress 2, like Yo said, it's a Steam game, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Steam and Xbox 360 and PS3, it's been hoard all over.
But as for the match, people that have never played it, like my best friend had never played it, and he's like, "Yo, dude, you have to come and watch this YouTube video." And he started playing the spy introduction video for me.
Meet the Spy, yeah.
Yeah, Meet the Spy, and then we watched Meet the Heavy, and like I had seen him already, but I thought it was just cool that my best friend had heard of this and was trying to share because he knows I like video games so much. I just think there's a lot of people out there that are like that. And like, I think Heavy's hilarious, and I've never played a minute of Team Fortress 2, and there's just a lot of fun stuff going on there. And Fable sucks. Fable's a disappointing as hell game, so there we go.
2 points I want to make. Number one, Fable was seen as disappointing, but I thought Fable 2 kind of redeemed the series, and that might help a little. And the bigger point is Fable 3 will be released in North America on October 26th, which will be just about 3 or 4 days after this match takes place. So if fans are excited for Fable 3, I'm not hearing a ton of hype, but there definitely will be Fable fans on the site the day of this match. So again, I don't know if I can do the upset myself. I do think it's worth considering, though.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
that's a good point. I kind of forgot about that one, Fable 3.
Okay, and that does it. If you miss one of these 1 or 2 point matches now, listeners, you have no one to blame but yourself, as we've hit all the big ones pretty thoroughly, I thought. And Extra, you had one thing you wanted to touch on before we headed out, something about the Charizard of this year's contest. You seem to know who it's going to be.
That's right.
Do you want to share that info with our listeners?
That's right, folks. You are hearing it here. Probably not the first time if you troll around and read my posts on Board 8, but the goddamn Batman is making it to the quarterfinals. It is taking out Fallout 3. It is taking out whoever gets out of that Halo Mario Sunshine mess. It is going to be what gets me to the point of winning the contest this year, where I have no Sephiroth losing to Snake to screw me over. Arkham Asylum, picture with Batman on the cover of it, one of the most universally well-received games of the past few years. Seriously, it is awesome. If you haven't played it, go play it. Batman's going to surprise everybody and beat Fallout.
I'll say this much. If you're going to take that kind of risk this year, I would say definitely do it in those top two divisions. Pretty much whatever you take out of there is going to be sort of a crazy risk, whether Fallout, which I don't have a ton of confidence in, Batman, if you want to go Uncharted 2. Of course, a lot of people are going Half-Life, like Tranny was talking about last week.
I'm actually doing Half-Life as well. I don't consider that as Charizard-esque, but you know, it's also an upset pick where if Batman doesn't pan out for me, and it's gonna pan out for me, where I'll have Half-Life to fall back on, because I've actually got Half-Life beating Arkham Asylum and getting to the semifinal before losing to Melee.
So, yeah, I mean, you got that whole slew of games, plus Metroid Prime is going to be in the mix. Definitely very possible that a surprise winner is going to come out of that whole mess. Yo, what do you think?
I could understand the rationale behind it, because as I was, as X and I were talking about it before the show started, you know, we really haven't seen what these very recent games can or will do against each other in a one-on-one match. So who knows what can happen. At the same time, if I was going to go for that risk, I wouldn't do it with this match, because of all these recent games, the one that's proven itself the most is probably Fallout. I'm talking about the one that, you know, doesn't come from a big series like a Smash or a Metal Gear. That the big one of that group is probably Fallout, because it could actually kind of compete with the Smash and the Metal Gear. You know, it actually won matches. It's done very well in the Game of the Year poll. It has New Vegas coming out, which is easily the most hyped game on this site for the rest of the year. You know, it's an RPG that has a lot of downloadable content that keeps it popular and keeps it on everybody's mind. So if I were to go with an upset in one of these divisions, like a big one, I might go with something like Sonic Adventure over Uncharted, because I have a lot of doubts about Uncharted. I think you have that one as well, Exa.
Last match of round one. Okay, picture this, yo. You got a match pick featuring Oblivion and whatever on the cover against a picture of Link with the title Soul Calibur 2. Are we talking upset there?
Oh, no. You've opened up Pandora's box now, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
As we've been over, the GameFAQs voters see Link and their pupils disappear and their eyes go big, and they robotically, very robotically, vote for whatever option has Link on it.
Yeah, I don't know. Link on the cover of a fighting game that isn't Smash. Can you excuse me for a second? I'm just going to grab a couple of tissues and be right back. No, I had not given that any thought. Once again, I will say I think the GameFAQs voters are a little bit smarter than that. Oblivion is a big game. Soul Calibur 2 is not. It would have gotten killed by Xenogears had Final Fantasy VIII not been in that match to SFF Xenogears into the ground. That is very weak.
Now I'm starting to worry if he's in the picture for the next match against Paper Mario. Mario doesn't have a very good track record when he's in a match pick against Link.
Well,
so,
I mean, it looks like Ocarina of Time Link. You know, the same Ocarina of Time that I believe is the number one game on this site now.
Shut up.
Maybe you guys want to confirm that for me. But yeah, if you're going to have Ocarina of Time Link on the cover, it may as well win the whole contest. So it's kind of a moot point.
He's right.
Soul Calibur 2 wins. Good night, everybody.
And we do have one final thing that we do every week. Yo, I believe you have a big announcement for us on this subject this week.
Yes, and welcome everyone to Infidel and Divine Prophet of the Week, which unfortunately will be taking a one-week sabbatical because I just have not had enough time to peruse the board the last week. These are like cheers for me. I'm in Hassan mode right now. You boo my people.
Brilliant.
Yeah, just haven't had enough time to check out the board. Haven't really noticed any infidels. Haven't noticed anybody that's done just absolutely fantastic work that warrants it. But we will be back next week with probably a double edition. So I will be awarding multiple honors and dishonors. Dishonor on your family. Dishonor on blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, sorry. This one is my bad. You can go ahead and boo all you want. I treat it like cheers. Bring Davari back.
We want Hassan.
Yeah, so next week it should be a great edition of Infidel and Divine Prophet. Next week also we'll be just ready to kick off the contest, so we'll actually get infidels that make terrible picks and embarrass themselves, and Divine Prophets that are actually rather prophetic, so it should be kicking up, let's say.
All right, and as Yo mentioned, we do have a pretty exciting show for you next week. We're going to have Just kicked off the bracket, the official contest. We are hoping to have Alti on as guest, kind of bookend the season at the very start and then in the wrap-up when it's all over. So be sure to tune in for that. And Extra, I'd like to thank you for taking time out of your night to join us tonight.
No problem at all. It was a lot of fun. I'm finally been on both of the podcasts for Board 8, and so Serious Business doesn't have that holding above your heads for any longer. And I was gonna say, unfortunately, you're not gonna have as good of a co-host next week. But Ulti comes pretty close, so I can't really say that.
And a big thank you once again to my co-host, Yo Blazer.
Hey, it's always a lot of fun, you know, looking forward to next week, and I'm very glad that we always bring out the big guns here, man. Ed Bellis, Tranny, Extha, Ulti, my goodness gracious.
And just final thought, sign up for the Oracle. It's the greatest thing in the world. Extha, that means you as well.
Good luck getting me to do that.
Is a great time. So that is the final thought, and we will see you next week. The show is out. Waiting for